Welcome back to this monthly meeting of the Parks, Arts, and Culture Committee of Denver City Council. Join us and the Parks, Arts, and Culture Committee starting now.
We can start in person then. Would you like to start, Council Pro Tem?
Sure. Good morning and hi, this is exciting. Diana Romero Campbell, Southeast Denver, District 4.
Good morning. Chris Hines, Denver's Perfect 10.
Sarah Parody, one of your council members at large.
Awesome. Well, I'm so excited to welcome Tatiana from Denver Arts and Venues. Will you introduce yourself and your colleague here? So excited to hear about the SCFD dollars and what they're doing for our residents.
Well, I'm excited that we're the first with good news. So Tatiana Navas Nieves, Deputy Executive Director for Denver Arts and Venues, and I work closely with our partners, the Denver County Cultural Council and SCFD.
Good morning, I'm Jessica Cato, Deputy Director at SCFD.
Wonderful, thank you. Will you be doing the presentation today?
I will.
Great, well, go ahead and get started.
Okay. Let me see. Here we go. So, I'll start by quickly sharing the role that Arts and Venues plays with regards to SCFD. We partner with the Office of SCFD and the Denver County Cultural Council with regards to the funding distributed to Denver qualifying organizations in the Tier 3 in Denver County. And we work very closely with the Cultural Council. And for those, I'm sure you're familiar with this, but for a quick refresher, SCFD is over 7 counties, and 1 cent of every $10 collected of sales and use tax is distributed amongst organizations across the 7 counties. And there are three tiers. Tier 1 is 64%, which are the 5 main organizations. How about Metro Denver Impact, that you're very familiar with, the Art Museum, DCPA, not to be confused with the Arts Complex, but the Denver Center for the Performing Arts, the Botanic Gardens, the Museum of Nature and Science, and the Zoo. And then 22% is distributed to Tier 2 organizations, like the Children's Museum, the Colorado Symphony. And then those two are, the funding is set by formula. In Tier 2, they have to meet certain guidelines with regards to attendance, as well as annual income. But for Tier 3 organizations across the 7 counties, each county has a body, like the Cultural Council, that makes those recommendations to the SCFD board, who then makes the final decision for funding. So for Tier 3 organizations, 14% is distributed to those. And in Denver, we have close to 90 organizations that receive, generally in the past few years, it's been a little more than $3 million. So, and just to give you a sense of the growth since its inception in 1988, originally 134 organizations were funded with about $14 million. Today, we have close to 300 organizations, and about $75 million is collected. So that is a tremendous impact on our arts and cultural sector, and not surprising, cities and counties across the nation call us all the time to ask us, how did you do this? How did you make this happen? Because it obviously translates for a very healthy arts and cultural organization. So the Denver County Cultural Council is, I always say that is probably the hardest working board I've ever worked with. They meet generally on a monthly basis, but between April and mid-June, they meet almost every week. and read and review about, again, close to 90 applications, and then determine funding. There are 11 members on the council. Three of those are appointed by, one is Denver Arts and Venues, Visit Denver, and Denver Public Schools. And then the rest of the council are community members, and they are meant to reflect the diversity of our city. And I'm very, very proud to say that 9 members of our council identify as people of color, and we have gender diversity as well as representation from people with disabilities, as well as from LGBTQIA2S+ communities. So we take that very seriously. And we also have city council diversity. So just from some, this is just curious information, because often council members are curious, how many organizations are in my council, in my district? I have to make a point that just because you have, let's say, 5 organizations in your district, it doesn't mean that those are the only ones impacting, of course, your council district. Organizations work throughout the city. They perform in many theaters. They work in Denver Public Schools. But what is also important to note is when you see organizations outside of Denver, it means that their address is outside of Denver, but the majority of the activities for organizations to qualify for Tier 3 in Denver County, the majority of the activities must happen in Denver and benefit Denver residents. So something that is both something that we're always happy to see, but is also a challenge, I would say, we're happy to see that we have, again, a very robust arts and cultural sector, and we have a community that is organizing and thinking about bringing more arts and culture into our communities. It also means, right, that we have more organizations requesting dollars. We had a period in which we saw a straight increase of funding. Unfortunately, for the past couple of years, we've seen a decrease, which is not surprising because, as we know, it's connected to sales and use tax. So we're hoping with all of this vibrant Denver dollars and DDA dollars that people will continue to buy and go shopping. So I always say, every time you go shopping and spend dollars, know that you are contributing to the health of our arts and cultural sector. So we have a number of new organizations in Denver, Tier 3 organizations. And one of them, for example, is the Biennial of the Americas, Words to Power. So a very, very diverse spectrum of organizations. Now, the dollars in the different counties are distributed uniquely in every county. In Denver, they are generally distributed in 2 categories. And I say generally, and I'll tell you why in a moment. So the majority of the funding, generally 95% of those dollars collected, is supporting general operating support. And this is really, really important to note, because more and more organizations nationally, what they say that they need is that general operating support. They're programmed out, right? Programs are important, but they need to be able to keep the doors open, to pay fairly their employees. So the majority of those dollars go towards supporting their general operating support. And then generally 5% of those of the dollars collected is set aside for discretionary grants. The discretionary grants are what it sounds like. So the council year to year decides to set aside at times to support whether it is collaborations or equity work. And as Jose will share in a moment, at times, especially this year, again, we saw a decrease in funding. We have more organizations, which means more dollars to distribute. The council decided to take that 5% and add it to the total collected so that more organizations could be funded more equitably. And that happens at times. Often when, again, we're on an upside, then they have the opportunity to say, we're going to set aside some dollars. But this year, I think it was very wise to add those dollars so that more organizations could be funded more equitably. And now to get us into more of the details of this year's, which I know that we are all dying to hear, we're going to go into the review for this year and the allocations and the recommendations.
Hi, everyone. My name is Jose Rosales, and I am the chair of Denver County Cultural Council. This is my final year as the chair, and I've been on the council now for 4 years, and so this will be my fifth year. And in my day-to-day job, I am the founder and CEO of Artistico, which is eligible next year for SCFD. Yes. So full circle moment for me. Because I actually started in a nonprofit when I was younger. I was part of Fiesta Colorado as a young boy. Got trained through Fiesta Colorado, learned about SCFD, learned about the nonprofit sector here in Denver. Trained by Jeanette, and now full circle. Now we're having our own organization in SCFD. So I'm excited. So I am going to talk about the evaluation rubric. This rubric was put into place. This is our second year now. Last year, we saw how obviously the adjustment between the learning curve of how to use the rubric, council members sticking to one rubric, because before it was very subjective and kind of like based on our own expertise. And we decided to come together from all counties and create a rubric where we could evaluate from the same vision, because they get calls. DAV gets calls, SCFD gets calls about scores and how allocations are made. And so, as you can see, the focuses are organization mission and objectives, operations and strategy, equity, diversity, inclusivity, and accessibility, financial responsibility, and impact on county residents. This year, the total of 2025 funding allocation for Denver is $3.5 million. 5% of the amount, like we talked about, typically goes to discretionary fund. As a council, we decided that would be distributed just because we didn't want organizations to have to apply for another grant. During this time, a lot of people are getting cuts from all over. And so we decided to make it easy and just put that into the pot so that everybody can get a little bit more funding. And the top scores for this year were the 95 percentile, which were 16 tier 3 organizations that we will talk about here in a little bit. In 2025, 87 Denver tier 3 organizations will be funded through SCFD, which as Tariana mentioned earlier, the number just keeps growing and the money staying the same. But we'll figure it out. We got this. The largest grant will be $90,000, and the smallest is $2,579. The total funded amount this year, $3.5 million, which is compared to a decrease from 2024 of 7.3%. And then when talking about that decrease, like we said, it does have to do with economy and I believe this year we are going to see, we didn't see such a massive decrease compared to 2025. So 2026 is kind of leveling out. The top scoring organizations, which as a council we're so proud to name, is Su Teatro, Warm Cookies of the Revolution, Colorado Dragon Boat Festival, Cleo Parker Robinson Dance, Access Gallery, Museo Las Americas, Family Theater Company, Mexican Cultural Center, Latino Cultural Arts Center, and City Park Jazz. And finally, a high-level overview of funding from 2020 to 2025. We can see that there was a decline in the amount of funding available for allocation due to COVID, the pandemic from 2020 to 2021. We can also see that Denver made a strong recovery. And during this time in COVID, I think we mentioned this last year, the council decided to distribute those funds evenly once again, because there was such a need for funding during that time. And so that's why it's important to have that discretionary fund, because I think we're one of the only counties that has that discretionary fund for council members to decide where the need is. And then NGOS distribution grew from $2.2 million in 2020 to $3.8 million in 2023. However, this amount dipped to $3.6 in 2024 and continues to dip more to $3.5 million in 2025.
Awesome. Thank you so much. So happy to have you here. I do want to welcome Councilwoman Lewis to the meeting, who's online. Let me know if you have any questions. And we'll start off with Council Pro Tem Romero Campbell.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you for the presentation. I think there are so many exciting organizations that are funded through SCFD. I had a question specifically about the grants. The highest being 90,000, the lowest being somewhere around 2,500. Do you have a guideline for organizations applying, like their max and their minimum, mm-hmm. or do you do partial funding for organizations?
That's an excellent question. So the request that they make is cannot be for more than 25% of their income or prior year expenses, and then the cap is 90,000. So in terms of that's where then the magic happens, because then you have to then distribute the dollars within that caps, and that cap is just realistically, because there's just not enough right dollars to support many organizations. Just to give you a sense of, I think, of the expansion, when I started with the city in 2012, the cap was 40,000, mm-hmm. and now it's 90,000. So I think it's also taking into consideration that organizations have grown, but also have larger needs.
Thank you. I think about for grant making, and especially when you've been talking about the sustainability of organizations, do these dollars go to organizations for program-specific costs, or are there restrictions for the funding, or is this distributed as general operating funds?
Yep, so 95% generally is for general operating support, and then 5% is what's left for discretionary, but this year it was moved to general operating support. And other counties do program support, but Denver is really focused on general operating.
Yeah, we're trying to kind of stay off of being so in the weeds with everybody, because it's so difficult to create new programs. You know, we always tell them what you're doing is enough, especially for the smaller organizations, because they have to do the same amount of work when applying for the grant as a large organization. So we kind of give them the opportunity to do what they need to do with.
We trust them to make the best decisions.
Yeah. I have to say I'm thrilled that we give it as general operating funds. I think as funders and investment within organizations, often it becomes burdensome, especially if you're giving a $2,500 grant.
Correct.
But it does become very burdensome if and organizations know where they need to spend it. So I just really applaud SCFD for making a choice to do general operating funds for organizations. That's a game changer. That is a game changer. So I'm really excited about that. And then I just have one other question. If I understand it correctly, there's the 5%, it's on slide 11, but there's the 5% discretionary funds from SCFD in 25, it's not reported. Did you just roll that into the general operating support?
Yeah.
That okay.
Yeah.
Just I think especially this year that we're seeing so many cuts at a federal level, organizations are especially, hurting. So this seemed it. And when you have more organizations, this seemed to be the.
And something that's really interesting that we do as a council is we evaluate the organizations based on their budget. So the way that we divide all of our, how many sessions did we have? Six? Six or seven 3-hour sessions where we go through all of the applications with the council. We divide them based on budgets so that we don't have any, so we can't compare a budget of 1.7 million to a budget of 30,000, right? They're different expectations. They have different needs and wants. And so I think that really, we saw a trend this year where everybody was asking for more money. There was a lot more deficits And a lot of people were saying, you know, they were afraid of the funding that they weren't going to get from the federal level.
I think to your point of the evaluation and within your rubric, I hope at some point you're able to capture that with a few questions or within the focus groups to be able to kind of track this point in time and then see the progression moving forward. Because I think right now with, to your point of federal funds and the uncertainty for those dollars coming to organizations, it's oftentimes, you know, you go further down the road, you know, a couple of years down the road, and you forget how far you've been able to progress. But this is a really good thing, I think, to make sure that you're tracking as you move forward.
And we saw that too with the pandemic,
yeah.
Right? The cliff,
pandemic,
right?
Yeah.
Like we saw this increase of funding, but we knew there was going to be an end, mm-hmm. right? So we were already kind of preparing for 2 years down the line, and as predicted, right, organizations all of a sudden had a much greater need. So, and some organizations are all volunteer. So,
yep.
Yeah. Okay, I did one last one. I know that for District 4, I'm sorry, you all. For District 4, there is one Tier 3 that's funded, and they are located in the district?
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell me the name of the organization?
We will actually send you, after this meeting, the list of organizations by council district, so that you all know which organizations are in your
great
district.
So. Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair.
That's helpful. Thank you. I'm really excited to see this. Sorry, we had a late night till 1 a.m. last night.
I know.
Voice is a little raspy, but I think also with that list, I see, like, for example, Biennial of the Americas listed in District 10, but I know they do activations all around the city and things of that nature. And we have Swallow Hill in District 7, but I know they do things at Botanic Gardens and other places. And so I think that's the beautiful thing about the arts. And I think that's why this is so important and so valuable to activate public spaces. And one question I did want to ask for you, Jose, is, you said next year you will be eligible. Why did it take you until now to be eligible? Can you talk about that process and those barriers?
So what's really, I think, a pro for SCFD is there is guidelines of you have to have a minimum of 5 years of Tier 3 existence.
Yeah,
as a nonprofit. Not Tier 3. 501c3 as a nonprofit. And so I think what that does is that gives the organization time to get their books in order, programming, kind of get everything that they're doing as an organization in place before they apply for this funding. Because once you apply for the funding, it's, I always say, once you get through that door, SCFD is really there to help you grow, you know, because you're able to apply in different districts. But yeah, the cutoff is, the beginning is 5 years.
Yeah, that makes sense. I do worry, like, when someone's starting up, I know it can be really challenging. But you said that we uplift people, for example, maybe into Tier 2. How often does that happen? And what kind of things do we do to support organizations to be uplifted?
That's a really good question. And I would say every few years we may get one organization, you know, average. And remember, you can go up and you can also go down, mm-hmm. right? So in a way that it's a little bit flexible. And just because you go to Tier 2 doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to get more dollars mm-hmm. also. Generally, yes, but not necessarily. So there's flexibility there.
Okay. And then I saw the Jazz Festival is on there. So something that has come up in my district is music festivals going away. So music festivals are eligible for some of this funding as well?
So generally for SCFD, you have to be SCFD eligible. Mm-hmm. So I would say is any organization that is a nonprofit then goes through the eligibility process with SCFD. And the SCFD has a great team that then also they support them to say, well, you need to do this or you need to do this. And then they have to be, again, 5 years in order to be eligible. So any organization that is a nonprofit and that supports Denver residents can most definitely go through eligibility. And for example, Dragon Boat, as an example of a festival, City Park Jazz. So those are SCFD eligible. So it's I would say it's really open for organizations in the counties.
Great. And then I saw some of the top organizations. They look very diverse. Are you tracking that? And one, on the other hand, I just want to say thank you, because at a time where DEI is being banned and we're not caring about diversity, I appreciate that Denver is standing by those values with all of your leadership.
Well, I have to say that I am particularly proud, and I think I can say that I think Denver County has always, within SCFD, has been leading in that space, even before EDI was, you know, popular. And I think it's because very much we love the organizations, but ultimately the Cultural Council is meant to support, these are tax-paying residents, right? So we are, the council is here to support tax-paying residents, and it's about community, right? So that's definitely being always top valued within the council.
Yeah, and you know what's great too is with the evaluation rubric now standardized, these organizations came to the top with its 11 or 10 council members doing their evaluations alone.
Separately.
Mm-hmm. Separately. The numbers come together, and these are the ones that were at the top. And so this year we did go through a process of like, do we give everybody the same amount of money, or do we still put EDI on the forefront? And as a county, we decided to keep EDI as a forefront, because we, for so long, these organizations haven't been funded what they deserve. And finally, they're at a point where they're the pillars of arts in Colorado and in Denver. And so we decided to keep rewarding these organizations for what they're doing.
Awesome. And then one last question. I was looking at the list, and it says 17 outside of Denver. So those other 17 are allocated by their own counties.
It can be a combination.
Okay.
So for Denver County, in order for organizations to be funded, the majority of their activities must be in Denver. That's not the case necessarily in other counties. So an organization in Denver County can actually apply in Denver, but could also apply
in Adams County.
You know, in Adams County, if they do programs there, just cannot be the majority.
Okay, and then how is it decided how much Tier 3 funding is given to each county?
Each county has a council. Mm-hmm. So each council then makes those decisions independently. Of course,
but
council members
amount.
Do know,
yeah.
Right, organizations.
Yeah, so each county has their guidelines. So they can say, we're going to apply for, like in Adams County, they do programs. The program is based on the budget. Mm-hmm. And so the county and their guidelines will say, we will only give you up to 25% of
right.
the overall ask for your budget. And that's decided based on the amount of money that is allocated to each county.
Collected,
yeah.
So it's allocated to each county by per capita compared to total revenue or?
Sales and use tax.
Was generated in that county. So basically the generated revenue stays in that county for the tier threes.
Correct.
Yes.
Okay.
Correct.
Wonderful. Well, I'm so excited again and so grateful. Sorry to see you leave as chair, but excited to see you uplift as a tier one organization. Congratulations on that. And thank you both for all the work that you're doing to keep this program true and keep true to our values. With that, there's no action items, so we can adjourn.
Thank you.
Thank you
so
much.
Thank
you.
Congratulations on chairing your first committee.